This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 206 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. I hope you all managed to have a spank and a nap sometime today. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast for Countdown Movies, sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you do not have to.
Right.
And today is going to be a fun one, I reckon.
I think so, too.
Sort of, maybe. Yeah. Maybe also a bit of anger-provoking one. Because it is top 10 WTF moments in film.
Mm.
Yeah, we were broad on this category.
Because we didn't really have this an in-depth production meeting about this. We just said, WTF moments, what can that mean? Don't know. Could it be, what the fuck, I'm shocked? Would it be, what the fuck, I don't know? What the fuck, I'm angry? It could
all
be anything.
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above. When you just was like, well, hi, the jaw agape, the mouth open, the strong emotion that comes with.
In my case, confusion as well.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have, one of them's a bit confusing. Mm. Actually, no, some of my anger ones are... There's consternation to go with.
Yeah, you're just upset about it. Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of fun. There's some great listener feedback on this particular one as well. So stick around the end of the episode for the pop 10 for that. Now, normally, we would have a results section around this particular point, but there was no results because last week was a top 10, last 10.
That's
so
right.
Nothing we have to share with in that
particular. Or shit on each other about, yes.
Or shit on each other about. So the score remains the same between you and I for this particular. But we do have a plug.
The Podcast Republic app.
That is right, the app for your Android device. If you're an Android user and you've yet to settle upon a great podcast listening app, then this is the one for you.
Yeah?
Robust and...
good ass. It's a good ass app. Last night, I held a friend's...
Android
phone.
How did your hand burn off?
It did. Right. And then I picked it up, and then I was like, okay, hey, have you got this... actually, I think they were talking to us about the podcast, and I'm like, well, you need to check this out. Oh, you listen to podcasts? No, I don't. Well, let me hit you up with a little fucking...
There you go.
This thing. Good work. So they have a Google Play Store.
Yes.
That's what that's called.
You've heard of that.
Yeah, and then that's how you buy this shit. I didn't know any of this shit. Anyway, they worked it out. They said it was awesome. Word.
There we go. Thank you very much again for that. All right, let's move right along then. Straight into the show this week.
Okay.
The top 10 WTF moments in film. Those moments when you have stared at the screen in consternation, anger, surprise,
denial.
Shock, denial even, yes. All of the above and more is what constitutes today's countdown. So a broad one, the top 10 what the fuck moments in film. Now, Wayne, we pretty much have described how we went about this already. Easy or difficult list to make?
Difficult, because initially I had some very fun WTFs that I had put at the top of the list, which I thought, oh, that'll be fun to talk about. And then I got through the rest of them. I'm like, a lot of these are a lot more WTF than the ones I initially thought were my number one and two and three.
Okay, so you changed your order
around. I had to do the order around a bit and mess around with it. And I'll say that mine starts out fun and then it just gets fucked.
I have to admit, the ordering was difficult on this one.
Yeah.
So my number one was always my number one. But other than that, I was a little bit all over the
place. Same
with
me.
It.
My number one was always my number one. Yeah.
All right, well, why don't you lead us away then? Your number 10 most what the fuck moment.
Okay, this is more a function of my childhood. I'm talking about the movie Ghostbusters, the original one.
Okay.
Now, there's a montage in Ghostbusters where there's a scene where Ray is having a dream sequence about this beautiful ghost who's floating above him. Okay. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Now, remember, this is a PG film, okay? It's a family film. And it was the 80s, so, the ghost then disappears after, and he's like, what's going on here? And then you see his flies and his button of his pants undone and his pants being zipped open. And then there's a cut back to Ray's face. And at the time, I didn't know his eyes roll back in his head and he goes back. And I'm like, oh, what was that? And
as a young kid, you wouldn't
have any
idea. I laughed
about it. I had no idea what it was. I knew there was a dick behind the zipper. But I didn't know what you did with them, right? And then later on, I was like, hey, that ghost was sucking his dick. He was getting a dick suck. So I'm like, what the fuck?
It's true.
Exactly. So you can't get away with that now.
That is so out of place.
There will be no implied dick sucking in PG films in this day and age. So I had a little what the fuck moment.
Bear. That's a good opener. And it's funny you went with a sexual one that really shouldn't have been in the film open your list, because guess what I did?
Oh, what?
Went with a sexual one that shouldn't have been in the list as well. Except mine comes from an adult film from 2013 to Ridley Scott Joint. Ah. It's from The Counselor. And it's the moment when Malenka, played by Cameron Diaz, climbs on the bonnet of
Javier
Bardem's car and in a way of, I think, trying to woo him, proceeds to...
Go ahead. How would you describe this?
Take her underwear off and press her nether regions against the windscreen. Now, you don't see it all.
No, you right? you see the positioning. You see what's going on there.
Yeah, you see shots from behind.
And he describes it as one of those bottom fuck sucking fish.
He compares it to a catfish.
Catfish. I'm like, God damn! That is, I know, right?
So bad.
Let me ask you.
In an already shit film, that moment just lowered the bar even further.
This is what we thought. Was it Ridley or Tony Scott?
Ridley.
Ridley Scott. Yeah, we thought he fucked up, man. We thought something was up. But then, let me ask you, Paul. Were you to be in that position and a girl says, yo, and let's say you got some sweet new car or something. Let's say it's your current cool, sweet car, right?
No, it's not current nor cool anymore.
Okay, Paul's got one of them fucking, what is it, an Evo 7?
WRX.
WRX, there you go. Didn't you once have an Evo?
No.
Was that Inkster?
My brother did.
Ah, got it. Sorry. All right. Sorry.
An Evo 4, I think.
Some fucking rice burner, okay? Paul's white person is a rice burner having a dude, right? Anyway, so it's your car, and a woman goes the puffer fish on the windscreen. Are you happy or are you mad?
if I'm interested in said woman, what are you doing out there?
She's fucking,
and if I'm not interested in said
showing
woman,
you the...
get off my car.
Yeah, I'm actually fine with it. I think I'm fine with it.
So less a WTF moment for Wayne, moving right along.
All right, no, you're in the movie, goddamn, you know what I'm saying? That was like, what the fuck? Anyway, all right, well done. Okay, my number nine movie is a superhero movie.
Oh, dear.
It is, in fact, Superman 2, the Richard Donner-directed one.
Oh, okay, that's surprising.
But here's the scene, all right? So basically, Superman is fighting with General Zod, who's played by Terrence Stamp, all right? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, his move, after doing all his super moves of punching and kicking and flying and fucking heat vision and shit, he grabs the S from his costume and rips it off and throws it at General Zod. The S turns into a cellophane bigger S and then wraps around Zod like a bitch, and that's how he defeats him. Can you even... I mean, what the fuck did he just do? Is that even a superpower? Why would Superman go, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rip this fucking S off my chest and throw it at him.
I love the way that is a contingency that they have built upon, that his S can become some kind of...
There was no foreshadowing of any of that shit. He just went, fuck it, and he willed his S to fuck someone up. That is the dumbest shit I ever saw. I went, what the fuck? And I was a kid, too.
They get fat!
Fully. Yeah. This was like, wow, that's amazing.
I agree. That is bizarre. It's a bizarre moment in an otherwise pretty good film.
I will mention this, though, that scene, Richard Donner's original cut, the one that he didn't... It wasn't in there. It was added in later by Richard Lester, a man who obviously never read a Superman book in his life. So, yeah, that happened. So that's a what-the-fuck moment for me.
Yep, that's solid. Very solid one. There probably won't be too many disagreements on this one, I think. Maybe positioning only. My number nine is one I think you shared a WTF moment with this when we saw it, I believe, together in the cinema.
Yeah.
It's from a good number of years ago now, from 22 years ago, 1996, or as we otherwise call that era, the heyday of Steven Seagal. Because it is from Executive Decision.
Oh, yes. Good call.
And we like to give Steven a lot of shit on this podcast, justifiably so. And this particular, it's not so much shit for him, although I will share with you a tidbit of information at the end.
Please.
He gets killed. Spoilers. We should add spoilers for every film we're talking about. But if we're mentioning a film, you might want to skip ahead 30 seconds.
Yeah,
if you're interested, that said, this is from 23 years ago now, so you probably don't really
care.
No,
you don't care.
Too much. Steven Seagal gets killed at the end of the first act.
Yeah.
Now, the poster, as it was originally created, now, if you look on Letterboxd now, it's just Kurt Russell, picture, Executive Decision, sort of picture an aircraft in shadow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. It used to be Kurt Russell, Steven Seagal on the right.
Same billing. Same. Close up.
Yeah, like that. Even though if you look closer on the credits, it did have and Steven Seagal down the bottom.
But that was a masterstroke because no one expected him to die. No, he was a big star back then.
Exactly. Like you thought this was going to be them buddying up a la Lethal Weapon styles to take down the terrorist on this particular plane. But no, he has to sacrifice himself to stop both the, believe it or not, the plane attaches to the bottom of a traveling plane. And anyway, forget it.
You're not going to make it. You will.
The dog slams the door and dies. Now, here is the tidbit, which, we have to give Steven Seagal a bit of shit on the show.
Of course.
Apparently, he was really not happy with dying in this film.
Was he not?
Apparently, even though he signed on to be on and knew what part he was going to play, either he didn't read the script or decided, I think probably more likely, with his star power, he would change the script.
It's the most horrific thing he ever did on
the
screen.
And he came to the director and basically said, there's no way I can die here. I need to live to be the hero.
What the fuck?
And they basically said, no, Stephen, this is important. This is a powerful moment. You make the ultimate sacrifice for everybody else. You are the hero in this film. They had to spin it.
Oh, my God.
To get him to go ahead and play that
dickhead.
Scene.
Dickhead. He's a dickhead. Well, you know what, though? It was so unusual because first of all, you're not used to Steven Seagal being heroic, really. And two, you thought he'd at least hang around. Right? Yeah, right, come on. Like, and so, yeah, that was actually a masterstroke. Well, I bet you a lot of people are pissed off.
Yeah. Anyway, well, no, I think a lot of people were surprised. What the fuck?
But maybe audiences are like, I thought it was going to be a buddy film. And, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Anyway. Yeah.
So that was my number 9.
Not bad. My number 8 is probably the most frivolous of my list, but it's always been a problem with me. So it's Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Now, every movie in this movie. Exactly. There could be the bat skates where they both go clink, clink, and they oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. But it is, in fact, the bat credit card.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure, but I thought.
Look, the movie itself was sort of going the way where it was telling you it might be this kind of movie, where it might be this weird, or it might be just dumb and sort of tongue in cheek. But then when he whips out his bat credit card, and it's actually a Visa credit card with a bat thing on it, I'm like, what's going on now? It actually is worse than the skates because the skates are functional items.
I can't remember. Does it say Batman on the credit card?
Yeah, it's got a bat logo on it.
I remember the logo, but does it have...
It says bat credit card. It's fucking shit. And it's just like...
The only way that could be any worse if it said Bruce Wayne on there.
Dude, exactly. You know what? It probably was like... But why would you even think about that? I know Joel Schumacher was doing things. I don't know what happened.
Well, the story goes, and I'm sure you're aware of it, that he was effectively told to make a film that would sell toys.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and so it became as camp and as over the top and as ridiculous as it did with largely that mandate in mind.
To his credit, he takes full responsibility for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, good for you.
Say that too in subsequent years.
But there you are, bad credit card people.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Don't leave home without it.
My number 8 may piss you off a little bit because I don't think you have the problem that I do. And I do not say this to appease the Star Wars haters out there.
Okay.
But I have to say, even if you go back and listen to our review of this way back when we did it, I was in absolute shock that the film went this direction. I'm talking about Star Wars: The Last Jedi, and I am, of course, referring to the only... there's a number of what the fuck moments in this film.
Yeah, which one?
Mary Leia Poppins. It is the dumbest... Like, there was no need for it at all. Why Rian Johnson thought he needed to incapacitate Leia, right?
To get her out of the game
through the script.
So she could return.
So she could come back at the end and put...
put a bolt. Like,
what's
she
his name?
Fired
shoot with, shoot Oscar Isaac. What's his name in the film?
That guy. Yeah, whatever, yeah.
I am blanking badly on his
Poe.
Name. Poe, thank you.
Dameron.
So the whole Poe sending off Finn and what's her name off to... None of that stuff would have happened had she been around to put him in place.
Okay, so she's the catharsis.
So she needs to be gone. Okay, so they get shot and something falls on her head and it knocks her out. Why does she need to get blown into space and then, whilst unconscious, the Force somehow manifests to bring her back in alive?
Yeah.
It is so dumb. Nothing of the kind has ever been seen. Oh, but we're always revealing new facets of the Force. Well, how about not revealing a fucking shit one?
What I believe, not to be devil's advocate here, but if you had filmed something hits her on the head, that's not cinematic. Right, her getting blown away by some guy when Kylo had decided not to kill her, and then she gets blown into space, that's dramatic. I thought
she
died
then. Happened. Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
If she died then, it would have been fine.
No, if she died that way, I'd be like, that's fucked. That is a fucked way to kill off that
character.
Better
than what we saw.
Well, this is the thing. Once she was out in space, you had the moment of, oh my God, that's who they're going to kill her, and then they brought her back with this. The
dumb
problem I think everyone had was the execution of that.
Dumb. it was at that point in the film, because I didn't, even though the idea of bombs falling towards something in space is ridiculous. But anyway, aside from that sort of oversight, I enjoyed the first half hour of the first battle. And then I'm like, what is going on?
I understand.
And then it got doubled down on that. That middle act of that film is awful.
With the fucking space planet shit, with the fucking casino.
Casino
shit?
Planet, yeah. All that. It's just really terrible. And apart from some good exchanges between. Anyway, we're
getting
off
track. I'm weird about this movie because I actually like this movie. And I've rewatched it now. I walked out of the cinema going, that was amazing because I was remembering the sword fight and the red room and all that shit.
The best moments are amazing. The worst moments, i.e., this and some of the other stuff, are horrendous.
Oh, Rian Johnson really fucking swung for the fences here.
And look, he got given a 3-picture deal. He's never going to have to want for anything else in his life ever again. So he's a winner. I'm not sure whether we old school Star Wars fans won quite as hard.
JJ's going to have to wind back all of his changes.
I'm interested. Very interested.
I'm very interested. Yeah.
All right. That's my 8.
Cool. My number 7 is a fan favorite because I did actually check on... By the way, lots of responses on this one on the line. on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Ooh, huge. Thanks for everyone.
Yeah, thank you for that. We were hearing some of those in
that's right. Now, this one was on my list anyway, but like it solidified it when you all just... It's The Departed. Mm. Okay, it's
so an honorable mention for me.
It's Leo going down. Now, it's a very obvious one, so I don't want to crap on about it too much, but all I will say is that...
It's fair.
I mean, it's just probably that it was so... You know, doors open, bang, right? And then boom. And that's it. No close-up, no nothing. Just kind of the scene, it's like a bolted camera there, just watching that scene. You're like, what the fuck? And so it's just a very true representation of what list. I think I actually said that.
Even to some degree, you could argue the next 20 minutes of the film fall into the same category because then when Matt Damon's character
dude, killed, everyone... Well, they call it The Departed, and that's only at the beginning. I was like, oh, yeah, everyone is departed now. So that's kind of cool.
Because I've since watched Infernal Affairs since last time we talked about this movie on their best 10 picture.
Yeah, there's
witness.
None of that going on.
Well, no, the main character gets clipped the same same way.
Like, not it is exact. Did it look the same?
Virtually.
Really? Mm-hmm. I think it's something else. Go on. Yeah, okay.
But the bad guy, so to speak, he lives.
That's right. That's what was different. Yes. That's what was different.
He gets there's Infernal Affairs 2, which I've also watched. That's a prequel. And I'm about to watch Infernal Affairs 3, which I does believe brings it all to a close. 2 was fine. As far as prequels go, it's a very good one.
Yeah.
Because it creates a whole bunch of new characters.
Mm.
That you start to get invested in. And knowing they're not in the next film, you can guess they're going to die, but you hope they won't. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
All right. So that was your 7.
Yes.
As I said, honorable mention for me, but couldn't quite put on here. Largely because at the time I was surprised, but that's a film I've grown to appreciate more times I've seen.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
My number 7 is light in a way.
Oh.
It's a little bit like your Ray getting sucked off by a ghost in Ghostbusters, except it deals with a topic which I think we'd all would agree is not cool. Bestiality.
No, I don't like it.
I'm glad to hear it. I am, of course, referring to 1986's Howard the Duck.
Oh, my God. Hang on a sec. So
we both have it on our lists. Excellent.
Oh, God.
So I don't remember. I watched the scene again because it's been a long time to watch it because I was like, you know, doing my research and putting it through.
Yep,
and I'm like, that is gross sounding. Let's watch it. Oh my God!
No, because of the shadow, you see them in the out in the moonlight.
Can I describe the scene to our good listeners at home? And if a lot of you will have seen this. If you haven't, no need. Leah Thompson is, of course, from Back to the Future. This is right in her prime. This is in
way before Carol Ann in the City.
Yeah, and she's the hot singer character who gets involved with Howard the Duck, and he's on the lam hiding at her house. Or her place, I think it is.
That's right.
And anyway, they get to talking about, you know, how it all works and whatever else. And she's like, well, you know.
It's so fucking wrong. He starts
like, you know, going, maybe we should get together.
Yeah.
Fully expecting to go, ew, gross. That's
and she's half closed to his eyes and everything. And it's like that.
And she's like, well, maybe. Well, how would it work? And da da da. And then she's like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, whoa, hey, baby, I've got a headache. And he's trying to back out of it. And she's being insistent.
She's sliding her hands, as I recall, under his between the buttons in his shirt. Like she's she's rubbing his chest and he's going, whoa. And I'm like, what? Who the fuck wrote this?
And again, in a family film.
I know.
In a PG, maybe 13, but in a PG film, this is disgraceful. And then it ends with, like you say, she goes, oh, I was only joking. When he kind of goes, all right, well, I guess if we have to try. She goes, oh, I was only joking. But then it cuts to that, like you said, that shadow of her leaning down to kiss him.
To kiss him in his beak, kind of. It was weird, man.
Wrong.
No, I remember thinking that was fucked up because that was a very long extended sequence. And
yeah,
I remember
it was like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Look, obviously this is coming. It's coming up in a different capacity on my list. So I'll talk to you about the actual thing that happened to me regarding this movie then. But yeah, it's fucked up.
Okay.
All right, so here's, you know, all the cutesy shit has obviously gone from my list, and now the things just get fucked up, okay? So my number 6 is something that you, as a horror buff, would probably sniff at, Paul. But for me, when I saw it at the time and I didn't expect it, it really fucked me up. Misery.
Oh, yeah.
That hobbling scene?
Yeah, sure.
When she turns up with the sledgehammer, I was like, oh, something bad's going to happen here. But then I didn't expect to see the flailing ankle after she hit it with the damn thing. And then the screaming and all that shit. That actually fucked me up for a little while.
I wonder if I'm misremembering this.
You see?
I think I am. I think that's what she does in the book. But in the book...
Yeah.
So she kills the sheriff by shooting him.
Yes, that happens in the movie too.
In the book, she kills the sheriff with a lawnmower.
Oh.
I think that was my big, like, I was waiting for that scene when I watched that movie and they bitched out on it and I was very...
Ah, yeah, that would have been.
But I started in my head there going, did she cut his feet off in the book?
No, she just put a...
No, like, no, no. I'm not saying it. She humbled him in the
Did
movie.
Did she get him off in the book?
No, that's what I was wondering. I don't think so. I don't think it went
that
far.
My God. This is horrible.
I'm saying, I think the thing I mixed up was the sheriff's death.
Good God. That is just, and the whole thing just made me very, very weird about being bedridden and stuff like that. I'm just like, fuck. So anyway, I hated that thing. It's what the fucking me.
Yeah, a couple of people picked that in the listener feedback. So that's a solid one. My number six is a real personal one.
Okay.
Very personal. It's still light. Like, I'm still in the what the fuck sort of, like, not in the what the fuck, which I'm getting to.
Yeah.
In this particular instance, it's from one of the, and I don't like to acknowledge the film, so I'm going to have to acknowledge it for this list. It's a film that was never made, but if it was made, it would be called Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
What?
You know, I don't like to acknowledge his existence.
I understand.
I am, of course, talking about the scene where Mutt swings through fucking forest, trees, jungle, with the monkeys he's befriended, or the monkeys that have befriended him.
It's really...
onto the back of a pursuing car of Russian villains. The monkeys all drop in there and attack the Russians. And he grabs whatever it is he needs.
Yeah.
And he jumps over onto Indy's car whilst the Russians are
distracted
by the monkeys. Yeah. And it's like so egregiously terrible. I was... That was the point in the cinema where I went, any hope I had, it's probably only 40 minutes before the end.
Mm.
I kept holding out hope that it was all going to come together. And I was like, this could be the worst sequel ever made.
Possibly, because the drop is so far.
Yep.
And also, when you look at that scene as well, because I remember watching, I can't remember how I reacted, but I remember getting the sense that people were looking at each other like, you know, like, what the... And when you get that in a movie like this, this is an Indiana Jones movie, and people are going, what the hell just happened there? That's the worst thing ever. I don't even know how they came up with that. I think George Lucas must have written, then he swings through fucking the jungle with like all these monkeys, and that's how he gets to the car. And then did anyone just go, all right, maybe take a pill, fucking George, right? Have a nap and fucking come back.
I don't know if George even wrote the script. I know he had final approval on it, but anyway. Long story short,
yeah.
If this film had been made the way that it was presented in my head like this... trying to deny its existence. It is awful. I can think of one other film which hasn't made my list. I don't think it'll make yours either.
Go on.
That falls into the what the fuck category, which is as close to this, and that's Jaws the Revenge.
Michael Caine?
The very concept, yes, of a shark having a personal vendetta and chasing people around the world is just as fucking dumb as
I saw
this
that
movie.
In the drive-in.
No, I saw it on video.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Well, ooh, Michael Caine. Yeah, anyway. Okay, well, not bad. I'm sure a lot of people agree with you on that one. My number five is, I remember how it affected me. I didn't know if it was still bad, so I watched it again last night.
Yeah, I did a bit of rewatching.
Yeah, American History X, The Curb Stomp.
Yeah, that is.
So I forgot, because I think I remember thinking, in my head, you saw the whole thing, right?
No, it cuts away.
It doesn't.
You see it from behind.
No, you see it from afar.
Oh, from afar.
Yeah,
okay.
You actually see the head go dead on the fucking, on the curb. And when that happened in the movie itself, what actually nailed it for me was that he's like, put your mouth on the curb.
You see him do that, right? Close up. Yes.
It was the sound effect, because you can hear the teeth clattering with the concrete. And then he's like, so say goodnight. And then Gedward Furlong is running towards him in slow motion, because you know, oh, this is horrible. And you just, it's a long shot, but you see his head go off the thing. I remember at the time going, that's... I didn't even think that was something you could do.
Who
even comes up with that?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So I'm like, fuck. And so, that was it. That was a big what the fuck moment for me. It's one of the first ones I thought of when we thought of this.
Okay, yeah. And likewise, my number five is one I initially thought of very fast as well. And I have spoken about it before on one countdown, shocking moments or shocking deaths or something. I think it was shocking deaths.
Yeah.
And it comes from the original Japanese Ringu. And it was copied in the Ring remake from Gore Verbinski with Naomi Watts. 2, 3, 4 years later, whatever it was. Ringu, it has the final death. It's a pretty boring film. This moment elevated the film from like a 1.5 stars to a 2.5 stars all on its own.
Yeah.
And it is when you basically see how Samara is killing people in the film.
So this is not when she's walking through the TV?
Yes, when she comes out of the TV.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just a mind-blowing what-the-fuck moment.
Yeah, because you didn't know up till then, didn't you?
No, had no idea.
And was it filmed as...
No, all you know is that people would die and be found in horrible positions, like of terrified. Like, what's terrified them? Well, when this thing comes out of the TV and crawls across the ground in this unnatural, horrifying fashion towards you, I'm pretty sure that would stop most people's hearts.
What is that? That really just it just frightens you to death? Is that what it
Effectively,
is?
Effectively.
Okay. What a horrible way to go. Whew.
That's an absolute WTF moment for me.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a, you know, as a horror guy,
as a horror guy who'd watched a lot of this kind of stuff, the way it was done, this great sort of around shot from behind the TV coming around the side.
Okay,
it's beautifully filmed, and maybe I'm mixing the two up now, but I'm almost sure that's the American one. I'm almost sure the Japanese one did the same shot.
Okay,
and it's so effective. It is one of the best horror moments I've ever seen.
I actually didn't mind the only through the American one, but I didn't mind it. I remember, as it's a movie good film. Like that,
I'm pretty sure we did remakes many, many, many moons ago. It was very high on my remakes list. It's a very good. It's a superior film. It explains things far better. It ties them all up together.
The American one.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Good. Okay. Now my list is going to get really fucked up. You thought it was nasty before? Nah. This is nasty. All right. And these are movies that you may not have heard of, but they're. Oh, no, you have heard of them. You have heard of them. But this one example, you may not. It is a French movie called The Piano Teacher. Okay?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
No, it's an odd one because it's not something that I saw this because I heard about this scene, right? It's actually an art house piece about. It's this woman, it's this sort of, you know, elegant French lady. She's a piano teacher in some kind of like, you know, school, higher end school in France and in Paris, I think. And all you see for the first 20 minutes of the movie is how harsh she is on her students and how she's a really rigid but effective piano teacher. And she's a bit like J.K. Simmons, but not as cruel, that kind of thing, right? Yeah, she's just an unsmiling French woman, right? And then in the first 20 minutes of the movie, after you see all of her interactions with the students, she goes into this private room in what looks to be a regular video store. Turns out it's actually a porno store. It's a porno video store. And then she goes into this booth and then pops in a tape or presses something, and the camera sort of... This is all artfully filmed, I should say.
Very important.
No, it is. It actually is. It looks like an indie classic art movie. Well done. The camera sort of booms around behind her. You see what she's walking. It's black dick on white ass fucking pounding, right? She's watching that shit, right? And then that's like, oh, okay.
I'm sure why I'm laughing.
No, it is because it's like, you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. Yeah, and then exactly. This part happens, which I know you love. She then looks over to the right, and there's this bin where obviously previous clients have jacked off into tissues and put the tissues in there. She then reaches into that bin, pulls out a cummy tissue and sniffs it as she's watching. I know! It's fucking wrong! And I was like, damn! And this is, again, an art house movie. It's really like, very what the fuck? I was like, shit on me, she really did. Oh, damn! So, WTF to say the least. Paul's got a bit of a fucking... Paul's got a look on his face now. He's trying to handle it.
I'm a bit disturbed. The latest beer is not sitting so well in my tummy.
I'm sorry about everyone. I'm sorry if I grossed you out. I should have given you a warning. But
I will.
That's pretty what the fuck. I mean, you say what the fuck, man. I'm bringing you what the fuck.
I would like to apologize to everyone. And then Matt Twain with my number four.
All right, let's go.
Which is just as disgusting.
Really? Yeah, well,
it
done.
Is. Stomach clenching, bowel emptying, horrible.
Oh, God.
I think I've set this up.
This is going to get fucking dark, this list. That's not even the worst one on my list.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
I've set this up adequately enough now to compare to The Piano Teacher, as you've called it.
The Jizzy Tissue.
My number four is Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
There's two scenes. They're pretty close together from memory. A lot of people point to the one where he takes... Gwen Stacy 2, where Mary Jane works. And
then goes in.
And Mary Jane goes up to sing for whatever fucking reason, I can't remember. And he just happens to be on the piano.
And
he's like, play it with me, double time. And then he starts dancing, his spider abilities in the thing, all to make Mary Jane jealous. And Gwen realizes that, and it's an awkward moment, and all that kind of stuff. That's awful.
That was terrible. That was
actually. But I reckon it's trumped by when he's walking down the street.
Yeah. You know what?
Dancing and making every woman feel uncomfortable.
And the thing is, they're not even playing it like the women are like, ooh, look at that guy. They're playing like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Which is better.
So it's reflected in the film. But it's also, I really think that's the moment when the Spider-Man franchise died. It's like, what the fuck is Sam Raimi doing?
Now, you know the story behind this?
I do know. He didn't want to have... He didn't want it to go the way it was, so he just said, fuck you, he'll just do it his way.
Yeah, I'm just going to have some fun, fuck it. Yep. But like, Tobey Maguire... Noted asshole Tobey Maguire. Noted.
We should have a Maguire watch.
Yeah! Oh, God. No, but he was... I think the reason it went like this, right, is that, one, Tobey Maguire is dancing like a nerdy white guy. He's not dancing like a guy who can dance.
Correct.
So he's literally doing the fucking... What's this move where you fucking roly-poly with your hands? Yep. Like,
and
that
then,
thing?
And then, you know,
Yeah, he's
pointing up at the sky.
Yeah, he's
to the
pointing
right
at the sky.
Pointing up to the sky to the left.
And he's doing double guns to women as they're walking past while he's fucking sashaying. And
he walks. They do that. I mean, we've done it in a film we've made. That walk into a building, keep the one shot, walk out dressed differently.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to do, and the camera angle's low, proceeds to do those moves you're talking about. Yeah. And it's just so cringy and awful. And I'm like, oh. I thought about it when we came up this topic. But then I went and watched it last night, and I sat there aghast.
No, if you watch it just that bit again, because the movie, you're used to seeing Tobey Maguire, and then this happens. But then if you just watch that scene, you're like, what the fuck's he doing? It's really jarring.
It is.
So I actually think that the in the nightclub bit where he's jumping around, I personally have a bigger problem with that because he's actually showing Mary Jane, the woman you want him to be with. And then, like, what is he? It's all fucked.
I mean, that's all terrible.
Yeah.
But you know, the whole idea of let's make someone jealous is an idea
this
that other
looks,
films
this
have
one looks
with.
Stupider. Yeah. That you're talking about. That's for sure. So
they're both terrible. I put them together. That's why Spider-Man 3 climbed up to 4 on my list because there's two moments where what the fuck in the one film.
Oh, my God. That's big. Okay. Well, my number 3 is a movie that Paul made me watch. and a few of you guys out there mentioned it as well. It's Hereditary.
Oh, yeah.
The Beheading. I don't know why we're laughing.
I'm laughing because it is a really obvious one. I didn't put it on my list, but...
Because that's the moment the cinema, in the film, I had problems.
The moment that happens in the film, it's really well put together because it's about it feels like 10 minutes, but it's probably a 1 minute shot of the other character involved. And I won't say anything more than that. Let's not spoil it because he's relatively new. But the other character just sitting there behind the wheel.
They don't show you.
Yeah. And you're like... And I was left with...
So what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Is it what I think happened? Because that can't be right. Like, there's no way. That cannot have happened in
this.
It's so well put together.
That's right. And the person in question was also, you know, something of a possibly challenged person.
Yep.
So that's kind of worse, man. All right? You want to do that, man? Come on, right? So it was a big, big fucking issue. And I went...
Know, was she just having fun? I don't know if she was intellectually challenged. Was she?
I imagine... I'm not sure. It didn't seem like she was an average child. How's that?
No, she had verbal tics, that's for sure.
Yeah, so there you are. Mm. But Hereditary, I saw this movie as well, and I just had problems with it right there, too.
Great movie.
I mean, it was really good, but I'm not watching
it. I know people
again.
Hate it, but I really enjoyed it.
Anyway, I'm watching it again.
It's on Netflix if you want to. If you haven't seen Hereditary, it's now on Netflix.
Fuck that shit.
Dropped last week. My number 3 is one of the most surprising deaths in cinema history for me. It was such a good moment in this film. It went from being a good film to being a great film in my mind. It also inspired me to read the entire quartet of books, which this film was based on. One of them, it is L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yes.
And it's the moment when Captain Dudley Smith...
Fuck, I forgot. This is a good one.
Played
really,
by
really
James Cromwell, just turns around and guns down who you think is the major character in the whole film.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey.
Vincennes, played by Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
That's right. Just shoots him cold. And
that was also nuts, man.
And he manages to gasp out, you know, Rollo Tomasi.
Yep.
And that's what brings Dudley Smith undone later on.
Which is the balls, because he's like, this guy's smart as fuck, right?
Even when he's dying. That's right.
But the thing was, James Cromwell's in his fucking kitchen, like, eating some coffee, he's in his bathrobe.
Yep. He just turns around, bam.
Just turn around, boom, that's it. And I'm like, fuck, this guy's cold as fucking ice.
I was like, I remember. What?
No, we were like, because we like Jack Finjens. We're like, this guy's cool. He can wear a cream-colored suit and still pull it off. Fantastic. Oh, he's done.
Well, you said, testament to the intelligence of the character. Reminds me of the one other time that, somewhat slightly different, I'm drawing a long bow here, but bear with me. Do you remember the Chaser guys? The Australian TV show, very sharp political humor. Normally, that's kind of what they did the thing called the Chaser's War on Everything, and they had this guy who was known as the Spruker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can't remember which guy plays him. But he's a character who would spruik anything in any situation anyway.
Oh, yeah.
He gets on a particular ride or whatever.
He's a crazy warehouse guy. Do the Americans have this?
No, I don't think so. If you haven't...
Very quickly, in Australia, there was a convention of like, shitty warehouse, like, sales.
I'm sure they do.
Oh, do they?
The warehouse guy says... Absolutely 10% off everything.
Everything is crazy. That's good. We're going on. Exactly. This, that, bras, panties. Yep. Anyway, it goes like that.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So anyway, he's got on this ride, got off the ride, and hilarious. Literally have shown him, filming him the whole time as he staggers away, gets his hands on these, vomits.
But he's before this, he's going, I'm going on a ride. Yes. He's going really fast. This guy's not running on. Oh, yeah. Yes. Anyway, he comes back down and he goes, I've eaten too many Dagwood dogs. And then he cries like, oh, I feel like shit. Then he goes on his knees and he pukes for real, right? And he's throwing up and they're still filming.
And then he says, carrots, broccoli, it's all going
out the door. It's fucking glass. I couldn't believe he did it. Can you imagine the commitment? And he was really sick when he came off that Ferris wheel.
If that's a gag that they built in.
There wasn't. Wow. He threw up for real because he threw up so much.
It was so good. Anyway, sorry, we're off the track.
Sorry, please. God, this is going to hell. All right.
That's okay. My three.
All right. My number two. This is fucked up, everyone. Okay. There's a movie done by John Waters. You familiar with John Waters, Paul? I know
where you're going with it. I haven't seen this, thank God, but I read about it.
I saw it because of this. A movie is called Pink Flamingos. It's a 1972 movie, all right? Now, first of all, I don't recommend any of you watch this.
Have you? No shame, sir.
Oh, my God. The movie is so... It's horrible. It looks like a video camera, right? It's really shit, and I don't really recommend you watch it, but it's the lead singer is... lead singer. The lead character is a sort of a transvestite type person, divine. Her real name is Milstead, right? Anyway, in the last scene of the film, this drag queen infamously sits next to a dog who's taking a shit on the street.
Take it back!
She picks up the turd.
Take it back!
And fucking eats it.
Take it back!
Now, the real problem here is that we've seen, I don't know if we've seen a lot of shit eating in films, really, but the problem here is this scene has become infamous. Because Milstead actually revealed that she did actually follow the dog around for hours, always with a camera on it, just waiting for it to take a shit. So she ate it. She actually did eat the dog shit. It wasn't a prop. It's one shot. Don't watch this movie. It is almost the most what-the-fuck thing that happened to me. Yeah, as for what the fuck, people, that's what it is. I was like, what the fuck? The whole movie is what the fuck, by the way. But this is nasty as hell. And frankly, I watched it for you people because I didn't want to watch it. Yeah, little, but I wanted to be able to.
That
have...
little commitment may win you this list.
I don't know, man. That's what I'm going to say. It's so bad. I actually have nightmares about it, so don't watch it, everyone. But it's nasty. And that's what's happening today on the countdown.
My number two involves two girls and one. No. No, I'm joking.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, good. Don't watch it. Look, I think it's fake.
I hope it is.
I really hope, it is. In my head, it's fake.
Okay. Anyway, back onto my number two is from David Fincher's Fight Club. It is, of course, when Tyler Durden ends up being the narrator.
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
And it's WTF because it's an awesome enough twist all on its own. And if you can accept it for what it is, it's incredibly clever. And you go back and you rewatch that film again and it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
But it was also WTF for me at the time out of consternation.
Why?
Because you cannot drag yourself by the hair.
Now, Paul had a big problem with
on
this.
Camera. Like, in other words, there's video footage of him doing exactly this. And I'm like, well, that's bullshit.
Well, here's how I'd do it, Paul. If you simply
says the
grab
man with no hair.
All right? If I had hair, I would grab a tuft of my own hair, lie back on the floor, and push myself with my feet.
Didn't look like that.
It didn't look like that, did it? It looked like he actually got pulled.
Yep. Looked like there was a ghost dragging him.
Yeah, but it's David Fincher. Let him have it. He's the best director in the world.
No, that's why at the time I was like, what the fuck? But this can't be. But what the fuck? That's so amazing. But what the fuck? It can't be.
Oh, it's an amazing movie. That's an amazing movie. Yeah. And probably a good book, I imagine. Have you read it?
I have read the book.
Any good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
I think the film is better than the book.
I like Chuck Palahniuk movies. Mm. Yeah, so there you are. Okay.
That's it. Let's go back. Recap then. Your 10 through 2.
Okay. Ray's supernatural blowjob in Ghostbusters, number 10. 9, Superman throwing the damn S. Number 8, the Bat credit card. Good God. Number 7, The Departed. Everyone gets capped, or one guy in particular. Number 6, Misery the Hobbling. Ew. Number 5, American History X, The Curb Stonk. Stomp. Number 4, The Piano Teacher Jizzy Tissue. Or Jishu. The Hereditary Beheading is number 3. And number 2 was Pink Flamingo's Turd Dog Eat Thing.
Which means that the film I've already mentioned is your number 1.
Wait, let me tell you about this, okay? Because this is actually some personal shit, all right? Picture it. Sicily. No, fuck it. Now picture it, a young Wayne Aruzu is a child watching Howard the Duck in a room with his mother.
They call him Howard the Duck.
Ooh, na na na. Yeah, anyway, actually the song was not bad. Anyway, okay, so Paul's talked
just
about...
just worked out the closer to this episode.
Awesome. No, Paul's talked about the duck and the woman getting down. I was less offended by that than this thing. At the very beginning of the movie, it can be summed up with two words, duck titties, okay? There's duck titties in this movie. Now, you might be making out with Leah, that's fine, all right? Duck titties in this movie, There's a smash that goes through the wall, and there's one scene that reveals a female duck from his duck planet in the bathtub, and her titties are out, and the titties have nipples. There's fucking furry titty nipple. And I'm watching this with my mother in the room, right? And I'm already confused because I don't really know what proper titties are supposed to look like, but this made me fucking throw up. I was like, ew, gross, wanna puke. Why the duck titties? Don't ever show me duck titties. This is a PG film as well. How do they even get away with the damn thing? Anyway, this thing is a piece of shit and you should never watch it again. And by the way, Howard the Duck is still alive because in the last Avengers movie, he was in an end credit scene.
Was it Avengers movie or Guardians of the Galaxy?
Sorry, Guardians movie. He was in an end credit scene. So he's still around. I don't know what they're doing. It's a joke or something. But duck titties are bad. So don't even look this up. But if you do, you'll see what I mean. The titties look weird. And I love them.
I think I can help you out the soundboard here.
Please. This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
You know, we're only...
Let's show, exactly. Well, I'm very lucky this didn't turn me off titties at all. Like, all together, you know what I'm saying? So...
You're very lucky, or the women of the world? All right, I've broken Wayne.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. And that's my number one. Duck titties.
All right, let's go back through my 10 through 2.
Please.
First of all, the counselor's choice catfish moment. Guy and Steven Seagal getting capped early in executive decision. 8.
Word.
Mary Leia Poppins in The Last Jedi. 7. Howard the Duck, but the girl on duck action.
Mm-hmm.
Mutt Williams swinging and making friends with monkeys and keeping up with a car chase in Indiana Jones and the King of the Crystal Skull. At 5, Ringu, the Samara coming through the TV to kill the main character's husband. Number 4, Spider-Man 3, Emo Peter doing his dancing, particularly on the street, though. Also have a special place in my heart of WTF-ness for the nightclub scene.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, the death of Jack Vincennes in LA Confidential. Number 2, Tyler Durden is the narrator in Fight Club. And number 1, unquestionably, straight to the top of my list, the end of The Mist.
Oh, of course, this is on your list. Fair enough.
The Mist is a novella, 100, 110 pages, written by Stephen King, which was always my favorite sort of piece of... I read it in 1 2-hour sitting, completely blown away.
Yeah.
Remember that day very, very fondly still. Some 23 years later. And really wanted them to make the film, and then they did 12 years ago in 2007. Frank Darabont, the man responsible for The Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile, got involved, and he changed the end. The end of the book, spoilers, they drive off into the mist.
Yep.
That's the end. And he leaves the manuscript he's writing there for anyone to find as a record of what has taken place. The end of the movie is 5 characters drive out. Thomas Jane.
Yep.
His son.
Yep.
Laurie from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The other dude from The Walking Dead. And the elderly sort of lady. The 5 of them have survived and have... driving, and they run out of petrol, and they're stuck in the mist, and he's got one handgun with him with 4 bullets.
Right, and there's 5 folks to cap.
And he basically, he doesn't want them all to get, everyone's been devoured and killed and whatever, these monsters. And so he takes it upon himself with agreement. All the others say, okay, this is what needs to happen. We accept this is the end. We would rather go out now. It's artfully shot, wired out.
Yep.
And bang. Then bang, 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 bang. Mm. And then he falls out of the car. And he's screaming, and he's just killed his own child.
Yep.
He's killed a woman.
He's putting the gun in.
He's trying to shoot himself, but he knows there's no bullets left. Yeah. And he's just waiting now. And this slow roar builds, and some monster's coming towards him. The mist parts, and a tank rolls past him. Like 2 minutes fucking later.
They've been saved. And he just killed all the kids.
He just killed everyone. And it's just the most harrowing
pretty fucking harsh.
Ending in cinema history. And completely, because I thought I knew what to expect, having read the book, and was so familiar with having read it many times over. And for this to end that way blew my mind times.
A lot of balls.
3.
A lot of balls. Is it a TV show? TV movie?
No.
It's an actual movie. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't a very big budget film, which its biggest knock is it has some ropey effects.
Tentacles, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, it is a phenomenal film.
Yeah,
and that's great. And I love it. That is my number one, The Mist.
Very nice. All right, that was a good one. You know, your list is Is classical cinema, whereas mine is just fuck off.
No. I think there's some moments of that in mine as well. Do you want to quickly give us any honorable mentions?
Oh yeah, there's tons, man. I'm surprised you didn't mention Old Boy.
Yeah, series considered, and some of the listeners had that on their lists.
I was pissed at Lost Highway. The end of that was shithouse.
The whole film fucking, was shithouse.
The whole film was shithouse. They just turned characters into other characters. Crap. Event Horizon, that bit with the where they saw all the hell and shit.
Oh, this is,
that was fucked up.
Okay.
The Infinity War, the snap. I mean, I can just say that I was actually like pretty blown away by it. I was. And then, no, that's it.
Okay. My ones we haven't mentioned are The End of the Usual Suspects.
Yo, yes.
Some people talking about it these days don't rate that twist, but completely blew my mind.
Oh, blew my mind too.
I mentioned, yes, final half hour of Departed.
Yep.
The Sixth Sense, obviously the end of that.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was really got me.
Malcolm, whatever his name was. Malcolm Crowe, I think his name was in the film. Or Crowe something, his last name.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is what he is. And of course, this one is, and I didn't make my list because it's more retrospective, because I didn't really know who Deadpool was when I saw X-Men Origins Wolverine. But now, knowing who Deadpool is meant to be, what they did to that character is a completely massive
By sewing his mouth up, literally.
He was shit-ass anyway, and then they neutered him down to this PG-13 level and then sewed his mouth up. It's just, the merc with a mouth has his mouth.
Exactly.
Removed. Wow. Whoever made that film, Gavin Hood and co.
It's interesting to if you read the history on that. Ryan Reynolds said, "Well, if you want to be Deadpool, you can be right now. You just can't be anywhere near the Deadpool you want him to be." And he took it, which is what anyone would do. So
yeah, I don't blame Ryan Reynolds. I blame the scriptwriter.
Oh yeah, totally.
Don't bring Deadpool in.
Totally,
it's very simple. Yeah. Don't, you can't do injustice. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that is our list and our honorable mentions. What about yours? We wind up every episode with a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about. Talk about
Pop 10. Kicking off this week's Pop 10 then with the feedback from Chrissy McQueen from the So I Made a Movie Geek podcast. Her straight off the bat. Number 3, pretty much all of David Cronenberg's Crash.
Yeah, fuck that fucking movie. That was a piece of shit.
On their show with Nick from the Epic Film Guys. Check out that episode. Sucks. Very, very fun. As you mentioned, Wayne, number 2, the ending of Old Boy.
Cool.
And number 1, The End of the Mist. I still can't get over that one.
Boom, fair enough.
Manu from the TFX podcast. Number 3, 1 plus 1 equals 1 and Denis Villeneuve's Incendies, which I have seen. I can't remember
that. What is that? I haven't seen that. Yeah, okay.
It's his first film or his second film.
Okay.
The Reveal of the Killer in 7 at number 2. And number 1, when Hugh Jackman steals a magic trick from Bale in The Prestige and we see it for the first time.
Mm. And you know what? The one you just mentioned, that was good too.
Yeah, 7. Yeah. That was awesome. pretty damn cool for its time.
Mm.
From Stephen at the Super Retro Throwback Podcast, which I had the pleasure of being on a few weeks back. Number 3, the ending Angela's Secret Revealed in Sleepaway Camp.
What's that?
I have seen it.
And?
And it is a film that's over 30 years old, so I'm going to spoil it.
Okay.
If you're interested, skip 15 seconds. The whole way through this film, there's been a camp counselor. Her name's Angela.
Mm.
She has been murdered, or you learn she's murdered all these other people, a la a little bit Friday the 13th.
Okay.
Turns out Angela is a boy.
Oh!
Yeah. So it's like that before The Crying Game did The Crying Game, this film.
Or indeed Color of Night did.
It's true. Everyone dies, in The Departed. And number 1, Ripley is pregnant with a queen alien in Alien 3.
It was what the fuckish for sure.
Mm, thank you for all that, Stephen. Mackenzie Lambert, long-term listener, good friend to the show. The parkour guy being blasted out of the sky from Punisher Warzone. Kent loses his limp from The Usual Suspects. And Brad Pitt bites it from Burn After Reading.
Yes. I barely remember that show, but I do remember that bit.
From What Were They Thinking podcast, the elevated scene of The Departed. There you are again, Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
The 9/11 moment in Remember Me, which I haven't seen. And the ending of The Sixth Sense when I originally saw it. It's another good one. From Pint of Comics podcast, DiCaprio popped in the head in The Departed.
There it is.
The military saves the day 2 minutes too late in The Mist.
Yo.
And Josh Brolin dies off-screen in No Country for Old Men.
Does he?
Yes, you never see it.
Oh, yeah, right.
From That Cousin Show, The Sixth Sense, you know which part. Number 2, Misery, you know which part.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Shawshank Redemption from Andy escaping. So it's like a positive WTF moment.
When he disappears, okay.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And how, I guess, I would assume how he disappears with the hole. From Mitch Krabash, The Game with Michael Douglas, the ending is fantastic.
Mm.
Nightmare on Elm Street 1, how did she fit through the window? The ending of that, if you've seen the movie, you know what we're talking about.
Okay.
And number 3, The Blair Witch Project, The Kid in the Corner is still an image I can't shake.
Fair enough, spooked me out too.
Now, this is from Anthony Procopio. He said, the scene in City of Angels.
Nick Cage?
I got up at the theater and started yelling, "What the fuck at the screen?" Seriously, I didn't mind this movie at all, but this scene was ludicrous. It's a scene where she's on an empty road, cycling along, arms outstretched.
Yeah.
Where the hell did the truck come from?
I didn't see the movie, but I wanted to.
Meg Ryan gets killed.
Oh, fuck, really?
After they get together, Meg Ryan gets killed and goes to
heaven. Oh, fuck! That would have... Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that upset some people, that's for sure.
Shit.
The next one's from Joey DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast, but there are two spoilers in here for recent films. So, for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and for Spider-Man Homecoming. If you haven't seen them yet, you're planning on watching them, skip forward 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Ego killed Peter's mom.
Yes, that shit was cold as ice.
And then from Spider-Man Homecoming, Vulture is Liz's dad.
Yeah. Oh, good one.
That's a great one. Great
That's
choice.
A good one.
His
good
final one, was... Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle was actually a fun movie and didn't suck ass.
Yeah, says Paul.
says Joey.
Yeah,
thank you very, very much. Julio from The Contrarian said, Martha! Martha! Yeah, that is a terrible, terrible WTF moment. Mike Seibert over on our Facebook listener community has a gif of course, Optimus Prime dying in Transformers the movie.
Fair enough, actually. That fucking kicked me right in the
86. Brianna Petty had Samuel L. Jackson's death in Deep Blue Sea would have made my list.
I was actually kind of surprised it didn't.
Had we not had most shocking deaths already, yes. Or most memorable deaths. Number two, the end of The Mist. And number one, the car incident in Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Humphrey had the vampire reveal in From Dusk Till Dawn. So, you know, sort of.
Okay.
If you didn't know what was coming, you wouldn't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would have been huge. Joe Pesci's death in Casino. So brutal. And number one, the car death in Hereditary. There you go, Wayne.
Okay, there's a few on the team.
Joe Ketchum from the Quote Unquote Guilty podcast had Leo's death in Departed, Martin Sheen's death in Departed, Damon's death in The Departed. And last two to round it out from the Facebook listener community, Blake Jarvis had Leia Poppins in The Last Jedi, Super Pepper Potts in Iron Man 3.
I loved her.
And Jim Sturgis' performance in London Fields, the movie I spoke about.
I keep hearing about this show. Last week. And I didn't know it was from a Martin Amis novel.
Yes.
I kind of like that author.
I've never read
it. I read Money years ago, yeah.
And lastly, Nicole Presley, The End of the Mist, number two, The End of the Avengers Infinity War. She said she totally avoided all the...
You know what? So did I, because I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. Okay. We saw it advanced screening, remember?
Yes.
So yeah, we avoided it too, so it was a big fucking shock.
I kind of expected it, to be honest. I'm not sure why I did, but I guess knowing there was another film coming, I expected that they couldn't wrap it up nicely.
Well, what happened was when he got skewered and then the snap happens, like, it's like, oh, he did it. But then it wasn't so much the snap, it was more the, oh, shit, look who's dying, you know? So. Yeah.
And then nearly every weird scene in Precious that involves the mother, Ira Garrett, ever watching that movie, what the fuck? That is it for this week's episode of The Countdown. Thanks to everyone who got back to us with their feedback. It obviously helped our list.
All of you, yeah. Big
and
time,
some
thank you.
Great choices there. We're sorry we can't get through them all. Wayne, how do the listeners let us know their choices for future lists or indeed give us some feedback on the show?
Google The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews or Podcast. Search for us on Facebook or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can also hit us up in the Facebook listener community, and we host through Podbean, so you can follow us there if you haven't already after we were featured on the Podbean app and website. So we've got lots of followers there.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is nice. Now, I also want to say head on over to ccradio.com.au to check out some other great shows in the network. And we haven't asked this in a long time, but we've been had a bit of a dearth of reviews of late. So if
we're on iTunes?
Yeah, if you haven't got around to reviewing us yet on iTunes, you listen to the show, please head on over there, give us a review.
That would help us out.
5 stars helps us out a lot, helps us out get out to a wider audience, and that's what it's really all up.
But feel free to be honest.
Yeah, whilst giving 5 stars. All right, that's it for this week's show. Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 207 of The Countdown?
Next week, we're doing the top 10 most intense films.
Ooh.
Shit that don't let up. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that gets with you. Stuff that stays with you. Stuff that pulls your shit and makes you fucked up.
But not in a Howard the Duck kind of way.
Not in that way. That's a fucked with your sexuality type list. This is this is completely different, hopefully.
So we're going all out for that one, and we're hoping that will be super interesting for everyone to check out. So we'll be hearing from you regarding your most intense films and why it struck such a nerve, or they struck such a nerve for you before next week and the week after.
The week after, we're doing the top 10 British films.
Right.
British films, that's right.
That was a wonderful accent, and
thank
I can't
you.
Give too much hassle because we all heard my accent on the Master Debaters podcast, or if you haven't, you soon shall. Top 10 British films. We're going to do a little bit of a location geographical sort of series through the course of the year, and that's the one we're kicking off with. Looking forward to that as well. All right. That is it for this week's episode 206 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been, of course, the awesome soundboard.
I fart in your general direction.
Whatever. Here's your soundboard.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, sorry for botching in your ears there, everyone.
No, he's not. He's not at all.
Should have done it during the sound drop. Anyway.
We will see you.
See you guys.
Next week.
See ya.
We do have a plug.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I got a new way to go, though, this time.
Here we go. Let's hear this.
The Podcast Republic app is so good, it will make you shit in your father's mouth.
No.
No? What? That's pretty good. I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine. I
cannot.
I was going to say, so good, it'll make you spank your mama. But I didn't. I went with the father's mouth.
Even though... Neither is suitable.
Oh, I'm sure they're fine with it. It's great.
Terrible. All right, let's try that again.
Okay, fine.